Today is the 7th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Great to be here with you today. Got my wind farm coffee here in my hand. Kind of need it this morning. Getting up and getting going here. Glad to be here with you. Hope you are doing so well. So very well. That is my great hope, that we will all make the right wise choices today and live a fruitful day as we navigate our lives and as we navigate the next step forward in the scriptures. So, really grateful to be here with you today. We are now working our way through the book of Ezra. And kind of in the aftermath of absolute destruction and exile, we are now seeing some rebuilding take place. But it is not unopposed, and it is not easy. And maybe we can remember that. Maybe when we have caused absolute destruction in our lives, and we just pray to be absolved of it all, mercy, get away from it, don't have to actually have consequences or responsibility, and then maybe that doesn't work out quite the way we had hoped, like winning the cosmic lottery, and we bear the consequences, then we want a quick rebuild. Right? It's so inherent in our culture. Just buy our way out of something, or, you know, whatever product or service or prayer, to get us down the road much quicker than step by step, day by day. But then the reality sets in that rebuilding is brick by brick, step by step, truth by truth, choice by choice, action by action. And so this is what we see happening in the book of Ezra today, chapter 4, verse 24, through 6, verse 22. So the work on the temple of God in Jerusalem had stopped, and it remained at a standstill until the second year of the reign of King Darius of Persia. At that time, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem. They prophesied in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, responded by starting again to rebuild the temple of God in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them and helped them. But Tattenai, governor of the province west of the Euphrates River, and Shethar-Bozenai and their colleagues soon arrived in Jerusalem and asked, "Who gave you permission to rebuild this temple and restore this structure?" They also asked for the names of all the men working on the temple. But because their God was watching over them, the leaders of the Jews were not prevented from building until a report was sent to Darius and he returned his decision. This is a copy of the letter that Tattenai, the governor, Shethar-Bozenai, and the other officials of the province west of the Euphrates River sent to King Darius. To King Darius, greetings. The king should know that we went to the construction site of the temple of the great God in the province of Judah. It is being rebuilt with specially prepared stones, and timber is being laid in its walls. The work is going forward with great energy and success. We asked the leaders, "Who gave you permission to rebuild this temple and restore this structure?" And we demanded their names so that we could tell you who the leaders were. This was their answer. "We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built here many years ago by a great king of Israel. But because our ancestors angered the God of heaven, he abandoned them to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who destroyed this temple and exiled the people to Babylonia. However, King Cyrus of Babylon, during the first year of his reign, issued a decree that the temple of God should be rebuilt. King Cyrus returned the gold and silver cups that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of Babylon. These cups were taken from that temple and presented to a man named Sheshbazzar, whom King Cyrus appointed as governor of Judah. The king instructed him to return the cups to their place in Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple of God there on its original site. So this Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundations of the temple of God in Jerusalem. The people have been working on it ever since, though it is not yet completed. Therefore, if it pleases the king, we request that a search be made in the royal archives of Babylon to discover whether King Cyrus ever issued a decree to rebuild God's temple in Jerusalem. And then let the king send us his decision in this matter. So King Darius issued orders that a search be made in the Babylonian archives, which were stored in the treasury. But it was at the fortress at Ecbatana in the province of Media that a scroll was found. This is what it said. Memorandum. In the first year of King Cyrus's reign, a decree was sent out concerning the temple of God at Jerusalem. Let the temple be rebuilt on the site where Jews used to offer their sacrifices, using the original foundations. Its height will be 90 feet and its width will be 90 feet. Every three layers of specially prepared stones will be topped by a layer of timber. All expenses will be paid by the royal treasury. Furthermore, the gold and silver cups, which were taken to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar from the temple of God in Jerusalem, must be returned to Jerusalem and put back where they belong. Let them be taken back to the temple of God. So, King Darius sent this message. Now therefore, Tattenai, governor of the province west of the Euphrates River, and Shethar-Bozenai, and your colleagues, and other officials west of the Euphrates River, stay away from there. Do not disturb the construction of the temple of God. Let it be rebuilt on its original site, and do not hinder the governor of Judah and the elders of the Jews in their work. Moreover, I hereby decree that you are to help these elders of the Jews as they rebuild this temple of God. You must pay the full construction costs, without delay, from my taxes collected in the province west of the Euphrates River, so that the work will not be interrupted. Give the priests in Jerusalem whatever is needed in the way of young bulls, rams, and male lambs for the burnt offerings presented to the God of heaven, and without fail, provide them with as much wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil as they need each day. Then they will be able to offer acceptable sacrifices to the God of heaven and pray for the welfare of the king and his sons. Those who violate this decree in any way will have a beam pulled from their house, then they will be lifted up and impaled on it, and their house will be reduced to a pile of rubble. May the God who has chosen the city of Jerusalem as the place to honor his name destroy any king or nation that violates this command and destroys this temple. I, Darius, have issued this decree. Let it be obeyed with all diligence. Tattenai, governor of the province west of the Euphrates River, and Shethar-Bozenai and their colleagues complied at once with the command of King Darius. So the Jewish elders continued their work, and they were greatly encouraged by the preaching of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, son of Iddo. The temple was finally finished, as had been commanded by the God of Israel and decreed by Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, the kings of Persia. The temple was completed on March 12th, during the sixth year of King Darius's reign. The temple of God was then dedicated with great joy by the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the people who had returned from exile. During the dedication ceremony for the temple of God, 100 young bulls, 200 rams, and 400 male lambs were sacrificed, and 12 male goats were presented as a sin offering for the 12 tribes of Israel. Then the priests and Levites were divided into their various divisions to serve at the temple of God in Jerusalem, as prescribed in the book of Moses. On April 21st, the returned exiles celebrated Passover. The priests and Levites had purified themselves and were ceremonially clean, so they slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the returned exiles, for their fellow priests, and for themselves. The Passover meal was eaten by the people of Israel who had returned from exile, and by the others in the land who had turned from their corrupt practices to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. Then they celebrated the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. There was great joy throughout the land, because the Lord had caused the king of Assyria to be favorable to them, so that he helped them to rebuild the temple of God, the God of Israel. First Corinthians 3:5-23. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials: gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. So don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life and death or the present and the future. Everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Psalm 29, a Psalm of David. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord splits the mighty cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon's mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quake. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forests bare. In his temple, everyone shouts, "Glory!" The Lord rules over the floodwaters. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. Proverbs 20, 26 and 27. A wise king scatters the wicked like wheat, then runs his threshing wheel over them. The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. All right, let's talk about Ezra for a second. So we're reading along and we're watching the enemies of Israel continue to kind of taunt, suppress if they can, disrupt, sabotage all of the work that is going on to rebuild the temple of God in Jerusalem after it had been destroyed in the Babylonian conquest. Now we're like 80 years a generation into the future. They're trying to rebuild, and they've gone with the blessing of the king. But when they get there, the people that are around, they don't want this. And so they're doing everything that they can to stop it. And despite that, despite all the threats and intimidation, the people have decided to continue to build, believing that they're obeying God. So man, at times, we can find ourselves in these kinds of situations where there is intimidation and disruption while we're trying to do the right thing. While we're trying to be obedient to God, but live godly. And because of our presence in a place that people don't want it, there is this kind of intimidation and disruption, or like delay tactics or interference with our efforts. So that process for the Israelites that we're reading about in Ezra and in our own lives, that process isn't easy. What we do see by way of example in Ezra is a certain resoluteness, like a certain steadfastness. They believe they are obeying God, and so they have a certain confidence in being steadfast. And so, man, may we take that to heart. And then Paul, when we get into 1 Corinthians, as he's laying out his letter, speaks directly to an issue that is happening in the early church. Ironically, with 2,000 years of practice, this issue is just as problematic now as it ever was then. People were segregating themselves into different camps based on whose teaching they believed most or first about Jesus. And in Paul's view, the believers were getting their spiritual identity based on whose teaching they follow, based on which team they are on, instead of what needed to be happening, which is a growing intimacy with Jesus himself. So Paul says it like this: when one of you says, "I'm a follower of Paul," and another says, "I follow Apollos," aren't you acting just like people of the world? I mean, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're only servants. You believed through the good news that we told you, but we're just servants. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your heart. Apollos watered it. It was God who made it grow. The important thing isn't who does the planting or who does the watering. The important thing is that God makes you grow. We still behave like this. Like, it's laid out really clear in Scripture, but we still behave like this, especially when it comes to faith. And the result is that in our time, there are over 40,000 Christian denominations on earth. The problem isn't that we have different rituals and customs and a vast, diverse body of Christ. The problem starts happening when we think our team, that leader we're following, that church we go to, that denomination we are a member of, is the only team that has the truth. And so, we gain our spiritual identity through what our team believes, instead of actual growing relationship and intimacy with Jesus himself. So Paul's trying to say, like, your faith and its foundation are Jesus alone, nobody else. And many can build on the foundation, but we're all on the same team. I quote him, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? So don't bother to boast around who you follow, what human leader you're following. Everything belongs to you. Whether it's Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world, whether it's life and death, whether it's the present and the future, everything belongs to you. You belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God." So that's an invitation for us to look in the mirror, like the spiritual mirror, look into our soul. Where is this identity coming from? How is it that we are gaining our spiritual identity? Is it from following a person? Is it from being a part of a movement? And are we expecting that following that person or being a part of that movement is the same thing as growing in intimacy with Jesus? Or are we following Jesus? Like, are we actually in a relationship with Jesus? Holy Spirit, we invite you into that question today. It can be very disruptive to imagine where our alliance and allegiance actually is, that is maybe different than you and you alone. And yet this kind of disruption can shake a lot of things free, because we find ourselves in bondage and we find ourselves with very divided loyalties when we're following certain traditions and we cannot deviate and we cannot reconsider in any way. And then there are leaders who will make it so that it becomes really, really hard, because we question and doubt ourselves. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of Truth. We ask that you would lead us into all truth, that you would lead us deeper into intimacy with Jesus, and that our leaders and movements, these are good things. They can definitely instruct that path, but without an actual relationship with you, we're trying to create a false identity. You are the only one that can bestow identity upon us. And so we seek you. Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home. Daily Audio Bible app is home, app store or web. You can find them, and you'll want to find them because we're celebrating our 20th anniversary. So this is the 20th seventh day of August. And all throughout this year, different things are being done to commemorate and celebrate feats and accomplishments that I can scarcely believe. In 2006, January 1st, when the first Daily Audio Bible ever went online, gosh, you know, Facebook was not really a thing, and we had these iPods, and you had to download and sync and everything. Like, iPhones weren't invented yet. Smartphones were really not a thing. Social media was not really a thing. And we just launched into the grand wild west, the great frontier of technology, and have not missed a day since, which makes the Daily Audio Bible the longest running consecutive 7-day program podcast in history of any podcast anywhere. How we didn't miss a day, how this has been going on for 20 years. I mean, Jill and I were some crazy kids making our living in the music business. Living like vampires, you know, getting up at noon and working till the sun comes up, and traveling the world and singing and producing records, and just a very, very different kind of thing than settling into a rhythm that's going to go on for 20 years without fail. And we have done this from so many places, so many weird, strange, like, feats, to try to make sure that the Daily Audio Bible doesn't miss a day. I remember being in India, just trying to find an internet cafe with strong enough internet to get a program out, carrying around crates of stuff that can all be done very, very compactly now by having to basically take a mobile studio. I can remember being in Uganda, really literally not knowing how to get it out for another day. I can remember doing this in a bedroom in South Africa. I can remember doing this in hotel closets all over the world. I can remember so much of these years and these times, and somehow God saw fit to help empower us to not miss a day. So we're celebrating that, as we should, together. We should remember what God has done here around the Global Campfire and what it is that we're participating in when we come here every day. So we're celebrating in all kinds of ways. We've released some 20th anniversary clean canteens earlier in the year. We've released some music. Jill and I have had some conversations that have been really meaningful to us, and they have connected in the community. The most recent one was like last Friday and Monday. We just talked about pain. We talked about suffering. We shared some of our story because we have had to really regroup. There have been moments in these 20 years where that we should not be here. We should not be together. We should not be here doing this. We should not be able to sustain some of the blows that we've taken in ministry, some of the betrayals that we've taken in ministry, some of the predatory things that have happened, and opportunistic ways, just trying to trust and build a kingdom for God and just be a part of a story. So we shared a little bit of pain because we've got this song from the Book of Job coming out and commemorating the fact that for the 20th time we'll be going into the Book of Job this month. So that song is called Blessed Be the Name. It comes out on the 14th of August. It's our first duet ever. Ever. Out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of record projects that we've participated in together or individually, this is the first time we've ever sung together. And so we're looking forward to that. You can get that now on iTunes. That's the only place for it until the 14th. And we are also celebrating, and I really told the story yesterday, of our Southern Pecan 20th anniversary reserve. Our wind farm specialty coffee commemorating 20 years of Daily Audio Bible. And man, I am not kidding you. When you open a bag of that, it is straight here from the rolling hills of Tennessee. It is love and goodness and just a beautiful aroma sensation of what it feels like to be around the global campfire. I have got some of that in my cup right now. Actually, my canteen, my clean canteen. Right now, this is what I'm drinking every day. This is the Holy Spirit is certainly what is fueling our lives and the Daily Audio Bible. But this Southern Pecan is helping, right? It's like it's just kind of there celebrating with us and giving me a little more energy as we tend to need as we get our days going. So if you're a coffee drinker, even if you're not, if you're a warm beverage drinker in the morning, which most people are, not everybody is, but if you are, grab yourself a bag. Grab yourself 2 bags, 10 bags, however many you want. While the supplies last, we ordered a bunch of fresh green coffee, sourced it in and roasting it up, blending it, making Southern Pecan, our special 20th anniversary reserve from the rolling hills of Tennessee here. So love for you to enjoy that. Enjoy a cup with me when you are drinking your cup and listening to the Daily Audio Bible. We are having coffee together in a most real and literal way. So I hope you can check that out. You can find it in the Daily Audio Bible shop at dailyaudiobible.com. Or if you're using the app, press the drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner. That'll pop open the drawer. And you'll find the shop in there. And grab yourself some. And let's enjoy a cup of coffee together. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly beyond words. Especially as we move through summer months, thank you for your continued partnership. Humbly beyond words that this could have been going on for 20 years. That this campfire could have burned that long is a miracle. but it would have never happened if we weren't in this together. So thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Shalom, shalom, Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us continue to pray for our children. A grandmother called in and would like us to pray for our granddaughter, Annabelle, who is having thoughts of suicide. So, Lord, we pray that you would intervene and see that Annabelle is a precious child of yours and her mother and her granddaughter. We pray that you give the grandmother words to speak to her granddaughter and that Annabelle would turn towards you. Karen called in and would like us to pray for her son, Nathaniel. He is in rehab, but he relapsed. Lord, so we ask that you would guide him through this valley at this time, strengthen him and give his mother the words she needs to speak to him and help him walk through this. Rosie called in, would like us to pray for her son-in-law, Paul. He is having continuing medical issues. Lord, we lift that up to you. We pray, if it is your will, that you would lay your hand upon Paul and heal him and take care of all these medical issues. Mother called in, would like us to pray for her son, Jonathan, who ran away on July 16th. I pray he's been located. I pray he is safe. Lord, please be with Jonathan and his mother and reconcile everything that's going on in that situation, Lord. We know that you will protect Jonathan. Juan Irani, I hope I pronounced that right. You were looking for a job and just trying to get your life turned around so that you can support your daughter. So we pray and lift you up to our Lord and Savior. From Junk to Treasure, all the issues you're having going on with neck and back pain, car issues, and your daughter with her eyesight getting worse, and your daughter having 7 infusions that need to be done. Lord, we want to lift up Junk to Treasure to you. Pray for comfort, peace, guidance, and all that she needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, and God bless.
This is Nicole, Living Christ Redemption Story in Florida, and I'm calling in for the prayer request that I just heard for Carol and Craig and the little 2-year-old girl, Miriam, who drowned in the pool with them when she fell out of her swimmy, and her mom, Caitlin. Living in Florida, unfortunately, we know several families for which similar situations have occurred. And just earlier this summer, an almost identical story to the one you shared happened with a family in our community with a 2-year-old boy as well. And it's just so heartbreaking when these things happen. We just don't ever know why. It just falls in the bucket of the things that we don't know why the Lord allows these things. They're so heavy and heartbreaking, but we just know and we have faith that God is good even in these really hard things, and his goodness will carry us through these things. And I've just experienced the guilt that people face, and it's just so heartbreaking in and of itself, because the truth is that these things could happen to anyone, and they do happen to anyone, and they happen in an instant, and they happen even when you take all the precautions you think need to happen. So Lord, we just lift up this family today. We pray, Lord, for their heartbreak and the grief that they're walking through. And we pray, Lord, for the guilt that they're facing and experiencing, Lord, that you would touch their hearts, Lord, and allow them to know that they do not have to walk in that, Lord. And we just pray that you would touch them.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan from Canada, God's Yellow Flower calling. And today is July 31st, and the prayers at the end of the reading are just so heart-wrenching. Cancer, stage 4 cancer, a drowned little toddler, and family relationships that are being torn apart due to drug addiction. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would take each of these prayer requests and bring them about according to your will, of course, but our will, if is that there would be healing, that there would be healing physically, healing in relationships, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you would heal the broken hearts as well, as there is so much suffering going on in the midst of a world full of calamity. I just lift this all and lay it at your feet and say, Father, thy will be done. Work in the hearts of all involved and bring healing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey, family. It's His Little Cherie in Canada. I wanted to give you another update on Bruce DeVries, otherwise known as Eagle-Eyed Bruce. He has been back and forth to the hospital again to have a couple more emergency surgeries. He's back at the prison now, and I'm hoping that he's going to be able to start to eat a bit and get stronger and begin to heal. But please continue to keep him in your prayers. He is full of faith and trust, but I know that it's got to be really difficult to be in prison and to be so unwell. So let's pray for him, family, and for his kids. Father, we pray for Eagle-Eyed Bruce, asking that you would touch and heal him to bring strength to his body and to help him to be able to eat and to get stronger. Father, we know that his life is in your hands, so we pray for your will to be done, that he would have life and life to the full, that you would carry out your plan and your purpose for him. And we agree with Bruce for the salvation of his children, for Brandon, Christian, and Peggy Sue. Lord, show them the truth and beauty of Jesus, I pray. I pray that they'd have opportunities to hear the gospel, that you'd soften and prepare their hearts, that when they hear the good news, that they would be ready to say yes. And we thank you for all you're doing in their lives and for all you're doing in Bruce's life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi there, Daily Audio Bible. This is Miss Kay from Texas. I've been a longtime listener for 6 years now, and I just got done listening to the prayers on July 31st, and I heard the prayer from Linda from Texas about her niece, Caitlin, and their daughter, Miriam, who drowned in the pool 3 weeks ago. And I just wanted you to know that I've been praying for you all day. Miriam has been in my head. My name is actually Caitlin as well, and I have an almost 2-year-old daughter. I teach swim lessons for a living, and so your message really got to me. And as I was researching things to say and what to pray about and how to pray for you, Matthew 5:4 came, and that was the first thing that popped up on my search. And it said, you know, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So I just wanted to take the time to pray for you and your family and say that I'm so sorry for what's happening. So, dear God, thank you for this family. Thank you for the time that they had with Miriam. Please guide them and help them as they deal with this unimaginable tragedy of this beautiful child. Please keep them close to you. Thank you for what you do for us. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi, Dab family. This is Meg from Florida, and this is my first time calling. This was actually my first year listening to the Dab, and I haven't listened every single day like I had hoped to this year, but I really love this community. And I just wanted to call and ask for prayer because I've, over the last two-ish months, have developed severe anxiety and panic attacks around eating and vomiting and food. And it's been debilitating, and my life feels so unmanageable right now. And I didn't know that anxiety could do all of these things to your body. And I just could really use prayer, and prayer that I would face this and get through this and learn what I need to learn, but also that God would just rescue me, because I just really feel like I can't do this by myself. So thank you. Bye.